Welcome to Monday Morning Moments, a weekly podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of the moments in your life. I'm your host, Mike Van Hooser. Today we're back in the studio and want to share some principles and thoughts with you around peak performance. The goal of this podcast is to help you lead a life full of purpose and passion and to serve as a catalyst to help you make your life count for what matters most. Based on my book, Moments, Making Your Life Count for What Matters Most, as well as my experience in working with elite athletes, entrepreneurs, and business leaders, I will share stories and teach principles that can help you maximize your potential and achieve your goals in the areas of sports, business, and life. Sometimes we'll do interviews with top athletes and successful people and impactful people in all areas of life. And sometimes we'll just share principles based on some of the workshops and the coaching that I do. And that podcast is going to be one of those today. The topics that we try to cover span the gamut of leadership, peak performance, teamwork, and productivity. And they cover areas around sports, business, and life. Today, we'll share some principles that I've shared in some of the peak performance and sports performance workshops that I've done. And it came from one of the workshops I did entitled Mastering the Mental Game of Golf. But I think what you'll find in these principles and some of these three X factors that we share today, and then we'll cover three and then some principles at the end as well, that really apply to all aspects of sports, business, and life, and not just golf. But golf is definitely a teacher of the game and a teacher of how to persevere in life and how to build resiliency and grit. And sometimes it's by failure, sometimes it's by success. When we talk about peak performance, we talk about four dimensions, and we look at it from a technical, mental, nutritional, and physical. And especially as it relates to sports performance, when we talk about the technical aspect of peak performance, that really deals with techniques. So in any type of sport, you're going to have swing coaches, you're going to have hitting instructors, you may have the shot doctor in basketball who's working on helping you perfect your shot, or shooting coach, or somebody who's teaching the technical skills and strategy of the game. You also have the mental side of sports, and that's another dimension of peak performance. And that's a side that I'm usually called into to help with around sports performance and the mental game of any type of sports. And we feel like that there are some X factors in the mental game of golf or any type of sport that you're playing at, that if you can use some of the tips and techniques that we share, it creates an X factor beyond the talent and beyond the technical part of your game. We also believe that there's a nutritional aspect of the game, and it's another dimension of peak performance. And you can master the mental game and the technical part of peak performance, but if you don't have the right nutrition to fuel and recharge and recover from performances and from practice and from games, then you're never going to be at your top condition. And we work with some great nutritionists, Catherine Krupa, who is based in Houston, and her team of nutritionists are some great ones that I would highly recommend. And we do a lot of workshops together and really believe in her philosophy around nutrition as it fuels peak performance. And then the fourth dimension, in addition to technical, mental, and nutritional, is the physical aspect. And this really deals with how you're working with trainers, how you're working to increase your speed, those types of things. And that can translate across any type of sport. But there's some great trainers that we work with and collaborate with as well. And Ben Fairchild is one of those who does functional type training and can work on the speed aspect of that. Will Collins is another one as well. But making sure as an athlete that you work with some type of personal trainer who's going to help you in the physical dimension. And so these four dimensions come together to really allow you to perform at your peak. And you have to make sure that you're working on each of those. I see a lot of athletes who just work on the technical aspect, maybe the physical aspect, but they often neglect that mental and nutritional side as well. And it's really important that you are seeking out guidance in those areas and also striving to be your best in those four areas of peak performance. Today, I really want to talk about three X factors that are within those dimensions that can really help you perform at your best. But before we get into those X factors, I think it's really interesting to think about your goals and to think about a vision for where you want to go in any aspect of life. And when you set a goal in your life, there's a tension that exists because there's often resistance that comes up against that goal. I don't know anybody who just sets a goal and it just magically happens. There's often resistance, almost like a rubber band, and there's tension in that about who you are and who you could be, and also resistance and tension around how it is and how it should be. If you think about this in sports, you may be at a certain level if you're training for a marathon or if you're trying to become a better golfer, a better basketball player, or just a better person in life or achieve your business goals. And there's the level where you're at and also the goal that you set maybe at the beginning of the year. And you're thinking about not only achieving that goal, but the habit goals that are going to encourage the growth and development that you have to go from where you are to where you could be. And from a team perspective and from an organization perspective, you may be also setting goals or trying to impact the culture and the team of your organization that you work in or that you play in. And there's a situation of how it is, and then there's a situation of how it should be. And we see this a lot in consulting work that we do with businesses that we're trying to help change and impact the organizational culture. And we look at some of the conditions for how it is. We don't want to stay there. We want to reach the goals of impact and a higher level of growth and a higher level of performance. And that's how it should be. And that sets the vision for where you want to go. So many times, or there's sometimes that people set that goal and they face a resistance, so they lower the goal. And we want them to be able to use that creative tension to accomplish that goal and to always seek a higher level of performance and not lower their goals to where they are now, but get those breakthrough moments that will allow them to get to where they should be and who they can become. I love the quote by Dean Karnazes, the ultramarathoner, who said, "Most people never get there. They're afraid or unwilling to demand enough of themselves and take the easy road, the path of least resistance. But struggling and suffering, as I now saw it, were the essence of a life worth living. If you're not pushing yourself beyond the comfort zone, if you're not constantly demanding more from yourself, expanding and learning as you go, you're choosing a numb existence. You're denying yourself an extraordinary trip." And most of the time, with goals worth accomplishing, there's setbacks, there's successes, there's challenges, there are opportunities, and you have to reach a point where you're pushing yourself beyond the comfort zone and demanding more from yourself in those instances. When I think about performance, I think about how people derive confidence. And many people, it starts with their identity, and they tie their identity directly to their performance, as well as what people think of them. And it's an outside-in approach to confidence, and we don't think that that's the right way to approach it. Many times it looks like this. If I win this game, then I feel good about myself. If I do a good job in this area of business, I'll feel good about myself. If I do bad, I'll feel bad about myself. If I don't make this shot, then I'll feel bad about myself. And it's tied directly to identity, which causes a spiraling downwards in performance. And I'm not saying that you should feel good about missing a shot or not doing well or not striving to do something with excellence. But when you tie it straight to identity and it's based on conditions going into the day versus the practice and preparation that you've done, that's just a bad way. And it sets you up for pressure. It sets you up for pressing and not doing your very best because you're tying it to things that you may not be able to control. Playing basketball in high school and into college, you know, I couldn't control whether my shot would go in or not, but I could control the things that I did to help make that shot and to put me in a position of success. And those are the things that I worked on, is the preparation and the process-oriented things. An inside-out approach to confidence is much better, and what that looks like is basically thinking about the roles that you play in life, and we use an IR model, and the I stands for identity, the R stands for roles, and we draw the I in the center of this circle, and then draw these circles around it, usually a bunch of R's around the I. It looks almost like an orbit of planets around the center, which is you. and thinking about the roles that you play. You know, for me, that might be I'm a runner, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a, you know, a dad, I'm a friend, I'm a lot of different things that two people. I'm a business leader, I'm a coach. And thinking about those roles, it's important to think about, you know, the preparation and all that I'm doing to embrace those roles, but also how am I preparing to be my best in each of those roles? And if I were to rate myself in each of those roles, at any one point in time, you know, there may be a low number. I ask athletes to do this all the time, and they think, you know, they might be rating themselves in a certain moment as a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being highest. And if they're rating themselves lower than they feel about themselves as a person, it can adversely affect how they feel about themselves and tying it straight to their identity. And then it causes other areas to lower as well as far as the overall average. But thinking from an inside-out approach, if I feel like I'm an 8 or a 9, you know, internally, how life is and how I feel about myself as a person, and I use that to impact that role and think about preparation, think about the talents and gifts and opportunities I have, I can affect that number and bring that up to an 8 or 9 or 10 in that role based on how I feel from an inside-out approach. And I think that's really important when you think about peak performance, is to think inwardly. And then what it looks like is thinking about that shot or that game or the presentation I have to give, and thinking about the preparation and saying, because of the preparation that I've done and because of the talents and gifts and strengths that I have, I'm going to have a good day. And regardless of the circumstances, regardless if I miss a shot in a game, regardless if I have a bad hole as a golfer, I know that I've done the preparation. I'm going to go into the next hole thinking that I'm going to make that shot, going to the next possession in a basketball game thinking I'm going to make that and being determined that I'm going to make that shot and win that game. And it's more of an inside-out approach to confidence, and we believe that that's the best approach to developing confidence. A lot of times when people are operating more from that outside in, you know, if I make this shot, I'll feel good about myself, they're operating from this math equation of identity equals performance plus the opinions of others. We don't think that's a good math equation, but we believe that a lot of people operate from that. And again, they tie identity equal to performance and how they might do plus the opinions of others. Did my coach say I did well? Did others think I did well? And often it's the perception of opinions of others that get them into this downward spiral of pressing and really trying to force things to happen versus it being a loose, fierce, and free type of approach to performance. And we don't think you should tie that directly to your identity. I think a better math equation that we use with a lot of the people that we coach is this equation of performance equals potential or talent, either word, minus distractions. So performance equals potential minus distractions. And thinking about the roles that you play in life, whether it be in sports, business, or life, you have some level of talent and some level of potential. And to perform well in those roles, to do your best, to achieve excellence in those roles, you have to stay in that zone of doing the things that help you to maximize your potential and minimize your distractions. So when we use the word potential, we're not talking about unrealized potential. We're talking about that zone of maximizing your potential, doing the things that get you in a position of success, and then dealing with all of the distractions, minimizing those, using tips and techniques to minimize those distractions, because we know distractions will come. We know the competition's going to be doing things that try to get us distracted. If you play golf, we know that golf course designers get you to try to focus on what those distractions are. We know in life that setbacks will happen, frustrations will happen, and we have to find a way to minimize those distractions while staying focused on the things that help us to maximize our potential. So having that as a setup, here are three X factors that I want to talk today about on this podcast, of three X factors to success. And given that you have a level of talent in an area of sports or business or some other aspect of life, these are three X factors that can take you further faster and have those breakthrough moments. And the three X factors are focus, an I will mindset, and recovery time. So the first one, focus, it's really about what you focus your thoughts and mind on, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. The I will mindset is really about determination and persistence and making sure that you go into every day saying, I will accomplish this goal, and having that mindset. And we'll talk about why that's important. And then the third X factor, recovery time, we'll cover that as well. And it's really one of the keys for how I grade athletes and how I help them in performing is not necessarily the metrics and the outcomes and the scores. Those are important, but these are more process-oriented things that get you to the metrics that you're trying to accomplish. And recovery time is huge because if you can improve that over time, and we define recovery time as how long does it take you to get from a moment that you didn't expect to have something happen into the next moment. And if you can improve that over time, being able to get from one moment, say, okay, that happened, whether it was a success or a setback, get into the next moment, both physically, mentally, and emotionally, then you're going to do your best work in that current moment that you're in. I love this quote by Fulton Alsor, who said, many of us crucify ourselves between two thieves, regret for the past and fear of the future. And when you think about focus, a lot of times people are either spending time regretting the past or fearing what the future will come. And that you can't control what's going to happen. You can only control what's in this current moment and influence and impact that. But again, physically, we can't live in the past. We can't live in the future. But mentally and emotionally, many times I see people, past, present, future, mentally and emotionally, they're in those three spheres, in those three spheres of time or dimensions of time, and they're having regret and they're having fear, and it's affecting how they perform and not having faith in the current moment. I mentioned that golf course designers get you to focus on the distractions, so they put sand in interesting places. They put trees in places where you didn't expect trees to be, or water right there where you might hit. And you have to think about, am I going to lay up or am I going to try to go across the water? And they want you to focus on those distractions. They don't just say, here's the target, here's the hole, big wide fairway, hit it straight down here, and we've given you a lot of room to be able to make mistakes. They want you to focus on those bigger things. And we have an axiom about those distractions that what you choose to focus on magnifies in size. And it's really important, the wording on that. It's not just what you focus on. It's what you choose to focus on, meaning that we have a choice on what we look at and what we're distracted by or what we're really lasered in and focused on. And whatever we choose to focus on magnifies in size. So with our golfers, a lot of times if they're looking at sand and noticing sand on the course, and even if they say, I want to avoid the sand, well, they hear sand really loudly in their mind and in the voices that they hear, and they hear avoid really silently. So, you know, if they focus on that sand, we often say, if you focus on that sand and just think sand, 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 that sand's going to become as big as a beach in Galveston by the time you're through with it. But if you're focused on the goal, and you're focused on the target, then that's going to get bigger and bigger in size. And it's important to think about strategy and think about, well, where are the distractions? Where are the pitfalls? Where are the things that I could, you know, that I need to avoid? But set that aside and then get back to your target and what you want to do. And as you choose to focus on that, that becomes bigger and bigger in your mind, and it puts you in a position to score. It puts you in a position to have success. So when you think about focus, and whether it's about golf or any other sport or business or life, I think there's some key questions that you need to think about coming into the week or coming into a key performance. First one is, what thoughts are you thinking about? So if thoughts, you know, lead to success, and we have another saying that says, you know, every action begins with a thought. Well, the key question is, what thoughts are you thinking about? Are you fearful? Are you worried? Are you using types of words that, you know, you need to think about differently? And to rewire that, to really think on, you know, the positive thoughts, the thoughts that are going to put you into a position of success as well. and really key activators for you. These aren't just sugary thoughts or cotton candy thoughts about your special or things like that. Those are nice thoughts, and you want people saying that about you. But these are things that are really going to trigger or activate things for you, and the thoughts that are going to put you in a position of success. And sometimes those are things that you're grateful for. Sometimes those are things about, the impact that you want to make, the things that you need to do to maximize your potential. Those are the thoughts you need to be thinking about. Another question around focus is, do you carry bad plays or bad performances in the past with you into the present moment? And if you do that, then you need to think about, well, how can I focus on what's here and be mentally, physically, and emotionally present in this current moment, not carrying those bad plays or bad performance with you as luggage or an anchor that you're wearing around your neck. You can't do anything about the past, but you can do everything about the present moment, which is going to affect the future. A third question is, are you using negative words without even realizing the effect it is having on your performance? A lot of times I'll have an athlete going into a performance and they'll say, well, tomorrow I just want to worry about this. And I know what they're saying, and they're showing a bit of determination with that saying, but they're also using a very negative word. We're starting off worrying, and why are we worrying? Why are we choosing worry to be that key word? What's the opposite of worry? How about focus? Can we focus on something and rewire what's the opposite of what you're worrying about, and being able to focus on the things that you need to focus on? And I think a lot of times we have to rewire our vocabulary and the words that we're using, and maybe make a list of those negative words that you're using, and what would be the opposite of that? What's the antonym of that? What is a positive word that I can use that's rewiring my vocabulary around that? And then the last question around focus is, do you focus on the obstacle and the challenge, or the target and the goal? If you think about, again, things you're trying to accomplish in life, and if you're not accomplishing those, how much time do you spend focusing on the obstacle and challenge before you versus the target and the goal? And sometimes we have to break down that target and goal and not think about the ultimate goal that we're trying to achieve, but what's the next step? How can we just take the next step to advance the ball towards our goal? And that applies in any aspect of life. It's not just sports. A lot of times for the goals I've tried to achieve, when I think about something I'm trying to accomplish, and maybe it's by the end of the year I want to do this, well, I have to break that down into daily and weekly things that I want to accomplish. Maybe it's daily and weekly goals that I'm trying to accomplish, and focus on that, because when I focus on that, I have a lot more ability to accomplish those things and then see progress, and it reinforces where I'm going and the vision I've set for myself. And I encourage you to do the same thing. Make sure that you're focused on the target and the goal, and then focus on advancing the ball and taking the next step. We think about this I will mindset. That's the second X factor that I want to talk about beyond focus. We have this thing called the volition scale from sports performance and sports psychology work. And volition is just a big word for the will or desire to do something. It's determination. So if you think about your will or desire to do something, you can have up to 5 responses based on whether you ask yourself or somebody else asks you to accomplish something. And the responses are on a continuum. And it goes, if you think about the scale going from left to right, on the left-hand side is I won't, and then you go I can't, I'll try, I can, and I will, going left to right on that volition scale. So in thinking about if you're asking yourself to do something or you're trying to accomplish something, I won't, I can't, I'll try, I can, and I will could be your responses. And I think you'd agree with me that I will is the best response. That's when we work with athletes, when we work with entrepreneurs or business leaders or teams, we're trying to get to that I will mindset. That's the best. And I think we would agree that I won't is the worst on the left-hand side of that scale. But I'll tell you that I'll try is a deadly thing sitting there in the middle. that can be something that can be a vicious cycle, and it becomes a never-ending cycle for some people. And what it looks like is kind of like Luke Skywalker when he was trying to learn the Jedi way from Yoda, and Yoda asked him to do something, and he was frustrated, didn't think he could accomplish it. And basically in that Star Wars movie, he said, "I'll try," you know, and just kind of shrugged his shoulders. And Yoda says, you know, "Do or do not. There is no try," which is a very famous saying from Yoda. And I have it all over my study in my home office, and even have some Yodas who talk, who tell me that. And it's become a theme, you know, for me in thinking about this, is I don't want to be in an I'll try mindset, because when we're doing that, we're not focused on being our best, and we're not, it involves commitment and trust that we're willing to deal with a setback or deal with failure in a moment to have that I will mindset to go further, faster, and to have those breakthrough moments. And if I have a setback, I'm willing to deal with the consequences, but also the learning from that moment. When we're sitting in the middle of I'll try, we don't extend ourselves 100%, and we don't put energy and effort and commitment on the line, and ultimately trust to get to achieving our very best. And we have to get to that I will mindset. When I was doing some work with the Astros, we used to talk about this all the time, because you can't hit 100 mile an hour fastball going up to the plate with an I'll try mindset. It has to be an I will mindset. And one of the things that they told me is that they deal with failure all the time in baseball. And this translates to other sports. It translates to other areas of business and life as well. And that a successful major league hitter hits around 300 on average. And so when you think about that, they're failing 7 out of 10 times. But they have to go into every at-bat with an I will mindset. I will get a hit. If they don't get it, they get back in the field, they make a play. The next time they come up to bat, they don't say, "Well, that didn't work, so I'll just try this time. It's, you know, there's less pain if I just do that." When they get in there, they have to go, "I will get a hit," and have that mindset. And that's how they have success. And I think it's important that when we think about that, whether it's any aspect, whether it's parenting our kids, whether it's, you know, being a great spouse, whether it's, you know, being an impactful business leader, when you have setbacks or you feel like people are, you're not making an impact or you're not making a difference, you have to go into the next day and the next moment, say, "I will make an impact," and then focusing on the things that are going to help you do that. Michael Johnson, when he broke the 200 meter record, which has since been broken but stood for many years, he did it in the Olympics in Atlanta. And he had actually set the record for the 200 with a time of 19.66 earlier in that year. But in the 200 meters in the Atlanta Olympics, he actually shattered his record of 19.66 seconds with a time of 19.32 seconds, which was huge for a sprinter and showing that much progress just in a couple of months' time. But what most people don't know is that the third step out of the block, there was a stumble. What most people would have said was the perfect race was not for him because he had a stumble along the way. But he didn't just stop and said, "Hey, you know what? I'm wearing gold shoes from Nike. This has to be a perfect moment. Can we restart the race and can I get back in the blocks and everybody get back in the blocks so that I can run the perfect race?" He persevered through that brief stumble and shattered that record. And I love the quote that he says in his book, Slaying the Dragon. He says, "Success is found in much smaller portions than most people realize, achieved through the tiniest gradations, not unlike the split-second progress of a sprinter. Life is often compared to a marathon, but I think it is more like being a sprinter. Long stretches of hard work, punctuated by brief moments in which we are given the opportunity to perform at our best." And I think that last part, long stretches of hard work, punctuated by brief moments in which we are given the opportunity to perform at our best, is really key. And being a father, and I have 5 sons, it's not the long stretches of time, the quantity of time, but a lot of times it's the quality of time that we spend, because there'll be a lot of different patches of things, but I have to be prepared for those brief moments to make an impact when they come to me for advice or when I'm trying to help model something for them. And if I'm not prepared for those moments, if I haven't done the things to do the things in my own life, to have a great quiet time, to, you know, to have a spiritual foundation, to lead out in the right way, then I'm not going to have anything to offer them in those brief moments which I'm given time to do. And obviously, we want to spend a lot of quantity of time with the people who matter most to us. But we have to be prepared, because sometimes it'll be that brief moment to impact, to excel, to have success. And if we're not prepared for that, then we're not going to have success in that moment. And that's what it's like in sports. It's what it's like as a business leader as well, that we have to, on a daily basis, make sure that we're prepared for those and that we can persevere through the setbacks in our lives, but we're doing things to grow. Nito Cubain says it this way. He says, your present circumstances don't determine where you can go. They merely determine where you start. And I share this quote in a lot of the workshops and retreats that we do, that the present circumstances you're facing, and if that's a setback right now, if that's a failure or a major challenge in your life, that's not the ceiling. That doesn't determine, you know, where you can go or how high you can go. It merely determines where you start. And you have to see it that way to be able to have those breakthrough moments to persevere beyond that. And if you look at it that way, then you're going to find how to solve that puzzle in your life and what are the things you can do to break through to get to peak performance. In doing that, a corollary to that quote is one from Andy Stanley and in his book, The Principle of the Path. And he said that direction, not intention, determines our destination. That direction, not intention, determines our destination. And he defines direction as the daily choices and decisions that we make. Nobody accomplishes anything by saying, I intended to do that. Intention can be a positive word. If you think, I want to be intentional, I want to be purposeful. But when you say it in things in terms of, I intended to do that, but I didn't. You know, a lot of times we'll speak to college students or high school students and they'll, you know, we make the joke, you know, guys, if you said, I intended to ask you out, but I asked her out instead. Well, that wouldn't go very well. You know, they wouldn't like that very much, and you'd get the, you know, proper response to that, maybe the cold shoulder or something like that. But direction, those daily choices and decisions that we make, are really important in determining where we go. Now, we know that we're not ultimately in control of our destiny, and that there are other things that impact that. But if you've set a course and you've set a goal for a certain area, you need to make sure that you're making the right choices and decisions that lead you down that path. And then if you get off course, that you can course correct at certain times, again, based on choices and decisions. But you shouldn't be surprised if you make the wrong choices and the wrong decisions where that leads and that it doesn't lead you on the path that you originally intended. We have a quote that I included in my book, Moments, Making Your Life Count for What Matters Most, that I love. And there's three unique ideas that come together in one thought. And the quote is this: learn from the past, prepare for the future, and perform in the moment. And I think when you think about, you know, having that I will mindset and thinking about those X factors that we've mentioned, learning from the past is really key. We can't live in the past, and we surely don't want to live in the past mentally or emotionally. But there are people who do, and they talk about success they had 20 years ago when they won the Little League World Championship, and they're still reliving it over and over and over again. And you probably may know some people like that, or maybe you're that person. Or you think about, because of my bad past, I'm destined to have a horrible future. And you're thinking about, again, just reliving those things and reliving the bad moments in your life. But we think learning from the past is much better. And maybe making, you know, having a journal or a notebook or a diary, whatever you think would work for you, but writing down things from your past and learning the lessons from that. And a lot of times when people think about the past, they think about bad moments. But we really encourage, you know, the people that I coach and work with to think about the great moments. How can you, you know, what were some of the things you did well that went into a great performance? The answer to, well, what made that a great weekend or what made that a great tournament shouldn't be, I don't know, I was just in the zone. it needs to go deeper than that and to pull out techniques and tips on, well, I did this, or I had some good mental thoughts or good trigger phrases that I used that helped me, or I really had a good warm-up, or I had some great practices, or I really just tried to stay in the moment and be there and then forget about the past shot and be mentally, physically, and emotionally in the current moment of what I was doing. Those are all things that you can learn from. And what you're trying to do over time is consistently create, you know, consistently great performance. So if you're doing that, and the key word I mentioned twice there is consistency. So if you can think about some of the things that lead to a great performance, then what you're trying to do is replicate those over time. The second part of that quote, preparing for the future, is all about vision setting and goal setting and thinking about where do you want to go. And some people fall down on this because they don't think about the future, they don't envision a better future, and they don't set goals that they can then grow and develop, you know, to accomplish. And so you have to, and then doing those things that prepare for that, and preparing for the future involves performing in the moment, which is the last part of the quote. We can't live in the future, but we can do things in performing in this current moment, being, you know, engaged in the current moment, doing the things that we should be doing to advance the ball towards our future. And that's really important in accomplishing anything that's worthy and in accomplishing anything that's meaningful in our lives, including growth and self-development. I love what Josh Cox, the U.S. 25K record holder, said. He said, "We don't control how much talent we possess. We do control our wake-up time, how hard we work, and how we spend our 24 hours. And that's really important that we invest it in the right way so the return on that investment will be great." He also said, "Knowing where you want to go is easy. Mapping out the plan to get there is challenging. Doing it requires total commitment." So you may know where you want to go, but mapping out that action plan sometimes can be challenging, and many people don't do that, and it requires total commitment to say, "I'm all in on this goal, and here are the things I'm going to commit to over time to accomplish that goal in my life." So as we round out, you know, this discussion, here's some things that I think are really important. And before I get into that, I just want to talk a little bit about recovery time, because I think recovery time is really important. And the things that we just mentioned, that's that third X factor that I mentioned: focus, having an I will mindset, and then recovery time. And in recovery time, that's basically, as I defined it earlier in this podcast, it's how long does it take you to get from a moment you didn't expect to have something happen into the next moment. And again, that can serve as an X factor. If you think about watching a great shooter like Steph Curry or Klay Thompson for the Warriors, they're great, great shooters, and they have incredible recovery time. Any shooter in basketball that I've ever seen that's a great shooter doesn't think about the, you know, the past. He doesn't think about that missed shot. He's focused on the next one and what can I do in that current moment to bend my legs and follow through on the shot. And if I don't make it, I'm into the next moment. So they're recovering well, and they're not thinking about, "Man, I'm not hitting my shots," or, "Man, that was a brick," or, "I can't make them tonight, and I'm not going to make them tonight." That's a spiraling downwards in performance, and that's why recovery time of being able to break out of that cycle and have a short-term memory about that and focus on being present in the current moment is so important and serves as an X factor for them versus some other shooter or player on the team or on the team they're playing that is spiraling downwards because they're thinking about past mistakes. And the way that we help athletes and really just people in any aspect of life deal with that is by this concept of trigger phrases. And a trigger phrase or an activating phrase basically is a 2 to 3 word phrase that will activate something physically for you. So we stay with the theme of basketball and thinking about that. If somebody's at the free throw line and maybe a negative thought pops in their mind, like, "What if I miss this shot?" or "This is a really big shot," and they start getting real tight around that, we get them to think about a 2 to 3 word phrase that they can replace that thought of negativity or doubt or fear or pressure with a positive thought that will trigger something physically for them. And what this would look like would be usually in verb object, you know, 2 to 3 words, and start with a verb and deal with that object. So it might be bend my knees, or it might be follow through, With baseball players, we often used a trigger phrase of stay back, which meant keep their weight back. And if they were keeping their weight back, they simplified the process of hitting. Plus, they had a good mental thought going into that. And if they were back, their weight was back, then everything would follow through. Their hands would get inside the ball. Their head would stay focused on where the ball was and being able to hit it. At the free throw line, if I'm thinking about follow through, it's a positive thought that gets me into triggering the last part of that shot and simplifying maybe four or five things that really go into shooting a good free throw. In our daily lives, we have to come up with that as well. It might be do your best or serve well or lead in a proper way or make an impact today. Those are some things that can help you in triggering some things physically for you that will help. And I think it's important coming out of this podcast, you may want to think about trigger phrases to improve your recovery time. And this whole concept, it's really replace, not repress. It's replacing that negative thought of fear or pressure or doubt with a thought that's going to help you perform in that moment. You can't press or repress that thought down. We use this illustration of a beach ball in water. And when you try to press a beach ball underneath water, it just comes back up. So when you have thoughts of negative thoughts, fear, pressure, doubt, a lack of confidence in a given moment, you can't try to press it down underneath the water and say, don't think about it, because it's just going to come back up. And that's why these trigger phrases work, because it's replacing that in that current moment with a thought that can help you. So key X factors that we've talked about. We talked about your focus. You know, what are you thinking about? Thinking about your thoughts, and you have a choice about thoughts and what you're zeroed in on as far as your goals and making sure that you maintain your eyesight and your vision on the target, on the goal, and that you have a good focus of great thoughts going through your mind. We also said another X factor is that I will mindset and having commitment and trust to have an I will mindset going into each moment and each day and each competition that you have. And then the third one was recovery time. The third X factor, recovery time, improving your recovery time and using that as an X factor on and off the field or court or in the business room or in wherever you play, whatever you're doing day in and day out to make sure that you have improved recovery time, to make the impact and to embrace the calling in your life. I want to end this podcast with some keys to success. And we've used this again in a sports context, but I think you'll be able to apply them in a business and life context as well. So we challenge our athletes and the people that we coach on these things. First of all, to know why you do what you do. I remember coaching 6 and 7 year olds in basketball when I first started coaching my sons. They've gotten older and I still coach them now. But I remember some kids coming to the free throw line if we were practicing free throws, and they would do the ball around their back and spin the ball and do all kinds of other things before they'd even shoot the free throw. And I'd ask them, well, you know, why are you doing those things? Does that lead to a successful free throw? And say, no, I just saw it on TV and I'm just combining a bunch of things before I shoot this. And so we would get them focused on doing things that led to a successful free throw, which might be, you know, dribbling the ball 3 times, bending their knees, following through. But it's important in practice and in games and in preparation and other aspects of life as well to know why you do what you do and what can lead to success. And to leverage your strengths, leverage the techniques, leverage the process that's going to make you successful in any aspect of life. There has to be a why behind it. And if there's not, maybe it's something you should shed from your daily routine that you're doing. The second thing is to practice with a purpose. And I think this is important whether you're practicing to give a speech or whether you're practicing on the golf course or, you know, practicing on the basketball court, whatever you're doing in life, to practice with a purpose, to have a goal in mind. Even if it's having a daily quiet time or something like that, to have a purpose of what you want to do in doing that routine or going through that moment or going through a spiritual moment, and, you know, making sure that there's a goal or, you know, there's something you're trying to grow from during that. I start my day with having a quiet time and reading the Bible and reading a good devotional book as well. And there's a purpose I have is because it's growth. It's not just because it's something I do. It's something I want to grow from. And sometimes I'm saying a prayer or looking at a verse to have a purpose. I need help. I'm struggling with this, or I'm sometimes fearful and I want to grow and have more faith. And so I'm practicing with a purpose in that moment. There are other times that we encourage our athletes to, you know, they may go into a practice and the coach may have a practice plan, but we want to encourage them to have a purpose for their growth in that moment within the context of the practice plan. And I think that's very important. Another key to success is using a consistent pre-shot routine. And I think that's important. You know, that you are consistent in what you do. With a golfer, it's really important to know what is that pre-shot routine that they do. If they're looking, you know, observing the course, developing a strategy, knowing the shot they want to hit and seeing it and getting a feel for that, and then trusting that shot by walking up to the ball, taking some practice swings, and then hitting it and doing that consistently every time. And I think for people to be the most effective in whatever they're doing, have to have a daily and weekly routine. And we're not talking about a rut. We don't want to have a rut, something that you just do and it's drudgery. We want people to be passionate, be energized by the routine that they have and be consistent in that. And so that may take some developing and debriefing around what is your routine coming into a day and a week and how can you improve that? And why do you do that? The third we've already mentioned, using activating trigger phrases in your pre-shot routine. So as you approach, if you think about it, whether it's golf or whether it's life, making sure that you think, go back to those trigger phrases and using those to have an effective week and effective day. Another key to success is focusing on the target versus avoiding the hazard. So don't think about the distractions. Focus on the target, focus on the goal, and focus on what you're trying to accomplish. Playing shot to shot is another thing that we talked with our golfers about as well. We call it performing in the moment. And but, you know, they can talk about all day about what score they want to shoot. You know, it might be 71 or 67, or depending on the level of golfer that I'm working with, they have a score in mind or a metric of what they're trying to accomplish. But if they go throughout the 18 holes, the 36 holes, or the three-day tournament, whatever they're playing, and think, you know, 67, 67, 67 over and over again, that's just going to lead to stress and pressure and pressing and tightening up mentally and physically. But if they just play shot to shot, thinking, I want to hit the best shot, and I want to be physically, mentally, emotionally present in this shot and do my pre-shot routine and just hit a great shot, and then move on to the next shot and play shot to shot, then that hopefully leads to great holes and a great 9 and a great 18 and a great three-day tournament, because they've simplified that and they've broken it down to a way that they can advance the ball. In other aspects of, in life, as you think about that, it's really being in the moment, day by day, moment by moment, taking it not just as a good bumper sticker, but, you know, as we think about living in the moment, that would make a great Hallmark card or a great bumper sticker. But what we're really talking about is a depth to that of simplifying your approach and just being your best every day and advancing the ball towards those goals. We often talk about 12 seconds and focusing 12 seconds at a time, and that a golf shot takes about 12 seconds once you know what shot you're going to hit. And, you know, versus the 3 or 4 hours they might be on the golf course. And with high school tournaments, sometimes it's even longer than that. It's a hard thing to focus for that amount of time. But they can focus 12 seconds at a time. And, you know, it's important to think about, when you think about your life, is to think about not the entirety of that or how long it's going to take you to accomplish this goal, or but to think about moments and thinking about maybe it's more than 12 seconds at a time. But it's thinking about, how can I break it down to this moment, this dinner with my family? How can I be present in that moment? This conversation I'm having with an employee, I want to be physically, mentally, and emotionally present during this time and really learn from them, really impact their lives, ask great questions, and provide great advice and great wisdom when necessary and needed. A couple more keys to success: be outcome-driven and process-focused. This is really key for the athletes that we work with, and it's really key for us in life and in business as well. if you think about words, if I was to propose three words to you, what word do you like better? Do you like worry, focus, or obsess? And I often ask this question in retreats that we give, and people kind of hesitate because they think it's an obvious answer, but they also want to give the answer that they're doing right now. And I'm not asking that. I'm not asking if you're obsessing right now, say that. I want you to, you know, tell me what word do you like most, worry, focus, or obsess? And most of the time, the consistent answer and the majority answer is focus. So we're on the same page at that point. But we draw this continuum. We talk about how the mind works. And we draw the words circumstances underneath worry and outcomes underneath obsess. And worry over circumstances on the left-hand side of a continuum and obsess over outcomes is on the right-hand side of the continuum. Focus and process are in the middle. But we often leave out the middle and jump back and forth in our minds, either from worrying about circumstances or obsessing about outcomes. And worrying about circumstances might be, well, wow, they're a really good team today, or they're really tall, or, you know, I didn't have my best practice, you know, this past week, or I didn't hit my shots in the warm-up, or, you know, whatever that might be. And if we're not worried about that, we're obsessing about the outcomes. Man, I've got to make this shot, or I've got to hit this guy in, you know, in baseball, or I've got to make this score. And not from a determined state, but from a desperate state. And what we found in working in the area of sports performance is there's a fine line between being determined and desperate. And it's good to be have that level of determination and to be determined. But when you get to a desperate state sometimes from a negative perspective, then it leads to tensing up and doing things that aren't natural. And you're not playing fierce, loose, and free as you are when you're determined. And so when you obsess about outcomes or metrics that you need to achieve, and it's again going back to that golfer, 67, 67, 67, I got to have that, or worrying about circumstances, you're not focused on the key to success. And the key to success is that middle part of the continuum, focusing on the process. We often draw a line, focus down to process over to outcomes. So if you think about focusing on the process to get to the outcomes that you want to achieve, that's where most of my athletes spend their time and where we want them to spend their time. And it gets to that saying of being outcome-driven and process-focused. So we want them to have that determination, drive to have that goal. Yes, they want to shoot the 67 on a day, or they want to make that shot in the moment. But to get there, they have to be process-focused. And we want them to stay focused on that. When the Warriors were pursuing that goal of winning 73 games in a regular season and breaking the record that the Bulls did, with, led by Michael Jordan, they didn't shy away from the goal. They said, yeah, we want to accomplish 73 wins. But they didn't sit there and say 73, 73, 73. That was clearly the goal. But each night, as you heard Steph Curry introduced or interviewed, and you saw him introduced, and he'd be warming up on the side doing the same pre-shot routine and preparation that he had done before every single game and that he continues to do, or even after the games, and saying, I just want to be in the moment. You know, we're just trying to be in the moment. That was code for being process focused. It was code for we're doing the things that we can just play possession by possession, game by game, and that should lead to the result that we want. And so this is where a lot of times we can fall down, because we're so obsessed about the outcome that we don't focus on the process to get there. So be focused, outcome driven, and process focused. And then the last key to success, and we'll close with this, is playing the round and let the round play out. It's key for our golfers when we work with them is to play the round and let the round play out. What we mean by that is a lot of times a golfer will be in a certain hole and they start wondering, well, what's going on the other hole? And what is my competitor or the team that I'm playing doing on that other hole? I bet they're playing really well and we're not focused on playing our hole, our round to the best of our ability. And when we do that, you know, when the golfers are doing that, their minds are, you know, again, in two to three different places at once. And they're not fully present in the current moment and where they physically are. And mentally and emotionally, they have to get that, you know, into their mind and make sure that they are present in those three areas. And so playing the round is the first piece of that. It's play your round, you know, play the best of your ability, be present, do the things that are going to be your best, and let the round play out. You don't know what's going on the other holes, and let them do what they're doing. You know, they may be having a great round now, but when they get to the current hole that you're on, maybe they're going to struggle during that time. If they beat you, then shake their hand and say, you know, great round, great game. But don't try to predict the outcome of it, and surely don't try to predict that it's going to be negative or that it's going to be in their favor versus yours. And I think that's important in what we do. A lot of times in other areas of life beyond golf, we can get into the comparison game and think about what's going on, you know, next door. I bet they're really successful there. I bet they have a successful marriage, and I bet they, are just having awesome kids, and they're just excelling. They're doing all of these things, and we're not. And you get in this comparison game around trying to accomplish things, then trying to play maybe even the round of your neighbor versus playing the things that you're round, the things you've been called to do. And it's really important to not get into that comparison game. And in life, not that we're trying to compete with other people, but I think the focus there is making sure that we do our best and focus on our best versus somebody else's best. And that's where the comparison game can get us into trouble, as if we're focusing on doing something that we weren't called to do. And it's really, really important as we round out this podcast to think about what are the things that you've been called to do, and how can you focus on being your best in all the roles that you play? And that's where we started with this identity role model. And it's important to think about what are the roles you play, how can you be your best, and how can you use the X factors that we've talked about around what you focus on, what you choose to focus on, using an I will mindset and having that I will mindset, developing the I will mindset as a second X factor. And that third, when you have setbacks, how can you improve your recovery time and be the best in that moment and recover from bad moments that you have in your life? If there's anything that we can do for you, as always, let us know. And you can find more resources at www.mikevanhooser.com. Thank you very much. Make the most of your moments in your life.